previously on Compassion Radio.
God led us to put our children in the public school system, and so our goal is for them to learn Romanian language better and the culture, and through them doing that, I also get to experience much more of the culture and just being able to say hello to every mother that has kids their age, or grandmother, or anybody that we pass.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Hello, and welcome to today's Compassion Radio. The world is indeed changing, yes, but the gospel remains the same. And every day, God is at work in places near and far. If you were with us yesterday, you heard us talk about two families who've immersed themselves with missionary zeal in the country of Romania. Today, we're going to dive in more deeply in part two of Bram's discussion with these dear friends he collectively calls the Georgie Bells. You'll soon hear how these servants have much to offer in service and by their Christ-like example. We pick it up now with Jessica Ebell talking about her family's experience integrating into an already established church family as a missionary in Romania.
They're already an established church. They just were looking for youth workers. Mm-hmm. So there was kind of already a structure. They have some leadership. They have ministry going on. So we were able to observe and see how we fit into that. And it just was nice to have we have Romanians working with us that also give input. Exactly. Sometimes yeah. Maybe we don't know how to deal with all of the input, but we're glad to have a big team working with us.
And you make the team much bigger by being there. You literally have multiplied yes. The amount of workers that are focused on any generation other than the mothers and fathers. Mm-hmm. Now, you are doing something that's very evangelical in a country that is not traditionally evangelical. In fact, any practices that most of the evangelical denominations here in the U.S. or the West in general would do, like baptisms, doing youth ministry outreach, or things that are culturally in context, stuff like that, are not just foreign to the culture of Romania, they're considered cultic because there's a deeply embedded traditionalism within the Orthodox Church that did reach Romania back about 500 or 600 A.D. and goes back to the roots of the first apostles that came through and spread the gospel. But it locked down, it kind of fossilized over 1,000 years. And you're finding that there's not been a lot of room culturally for those practices. In fact, it's considered a major breakout, like you're forsaking your entire culture to step into this new, lively kind of faith living, which we don't get that back in the West. We think it's just another brand of Christianity or a way of expressing yourself. There, it's dramatically different. So explain that a bit.
We are actually called repenters when we entered into the Romanian village of Dragonești-Olten. Into our ears, that sounds actually amazing. Yes, yeah. Of course, we're repenters. We follow Jesus Christ. But there, it's a derogatory term. That means separated. That means separated from the Orthodox faith. And for them, that is a huge step. And so people, the youth that come into our program, which is called Catalyst, we meet every Wednesday. And for them to even take that step or to step into the church on Sunday, the Baptist church that we are a part of, really means it. The beginning or a separation from the Orthodox faith. And some of the youth right now that we're meeting with and praying with and ministering to, if they take that step, if they become baptized, then they could be kicked out of their houses. Their parents are threatening physical harm to them. There's a lot of turmoil within the family because a lot of the Orthodox faith also relies on an afterlife journey. And so if your children are abandoning the Orthodox faith to become a repenter, then there's this pressure that no one's going to be praying for you in the afterlife and these different things. So there's all these residual effects that there's a lot of fear in the Orthodox faith for people coming over to. But
a lot of deep mysticism that things that are important to salvation, external to you, aren't going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So there is that concern, not just culturally, but literally spiritually, that there's a fear that you're literally cutting yourself out of the heaven that I've always known.
Exactly. Yep.
That's tough. Yes. Now, of course, I've been witness to a number of places, like in Ukraine and other parts of Eastern Europe, where there's, for the first time in 1,000 years, a rapprochement. There's been actually a detente, if you want to call it that, and then actual meetings between evangelicals and the Orthodox Church, realizing there's something here. There's Jesus at the bottom of this. Let's find him.
Exactly.
And that kind of renewal, that kind of coming together again, the table of peace, is a miracle in itself. I mean, people literally in the Maidan of Ukraine prayed on the Maidan during the revolution together on stage for the first time in 1,000 years. That's a big transformation.
Oh, yeah.
So I do believe that those kind of transformations and grouping together of Christ's church, his real called out believers across cultures, is beginning to domino across these countries.
And I agree. I think that when we go into these homes of the different youth and have home visits with the families, we definitely don't emphasize where we're different, mm-hmm. but we emphasize where we're the same and how our goal is to follow Jesus Christ, is to follow God. And there are a lot of peripheral issues that could be worked out through sanctification in following Jesus Christ, but we try and get them to an area where they could trust us. We're not here to do anything that is going to be harming their family. We're there to speak life into them. There are a few families we've been able to get past some of those barriers with and really connect with, and now we see them daily, we see them weekly, to be able to pour into their lives and live life together with them.
Great.
Now, Paul, you were talking about how important the significance of baptism is, not just because of our Baptist church, but because the baptism represents something repenting. Mm-hmm. It is the thing, like the Bible says, you're really stepping out and really making a statement. So if you could explain to me, what is the significance of baptism to a Romanian?
It's something outside of their thinking, because they've all been baptized as babies, as small children that aren't able to speak for themselves, have their own thought process, to be able to say, yes, I believe this, I follow Jesus, you know, things that is clear in the book of Romans, mm-hmm. that we need to profess with our mouth, the faith that is inward. And so for them to make that profession of faith and to step out in action, to be baptized outside of the Orthodox faith, is huge. Like Brandon was saying, it's something that we, as doing youth ministry, we're able to not have any problems with families, and they love what we're doing, just meeting with their kids, even teaching them about God and teaching them about Jesus, teaching them about the Bible. They love all that stuff until we reach this point of baptism. Hmm. Then we have the pushback.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that, you know, because of the mysticism, because of external things, as you spoke of, in their culture and in this traditional Romanian orthodoxy.
So baptism not only is a huge confession of the faith and very powerful within our faith, but in Romania it's actually a legal obligation. You are now changing your membership from the Orthodox Church to the Baptist Church, which the Baptist Church is legally recognized, so we are able to, they're able to be married in the Baptist Church, they're able to have funerals in the Baptist Church, so they're not restricted, but that's, the baptism is the mark. Once that happens and you're officially a member.
So this is the point where the law gets involved, and it means then that there are proselytizing laws that come into play as well. So there are all kinds of restrictions and limitations that the government may impose or try to enforce that make it even more difficult or cost you, even in taxes and things.
Exactly. So one of the missionaries that we work alongside there in Romania, his mother had passed away, and she had been baptized a few years before she had passed, and there was a lot of conflict between them and the Orthodox Church, because people becoming repenters or joining the Baptist Church is a newer kind of event that's going on, and so legally there's been a lot of who's going to hold the funeral, who's going to preside over it, and so it's definitely interesting. But yeah, baptism is the defining moment, which I think is amazing.
Now, this goes back literally to Jesus saying, those who won't forsake brother, father, sister, mother for me don't have a place in my kingdom. Mm-hmm. That has practical applications in these kind of situations where, whether they intend to alienate or not, to follow Christ becomes that much more important, that even if it costs me that relationship, I'm willing to follow him. That's bearing the true cross.
Exactly.
Of saying, I'm willing to pick up my cross. It's going to hurt.
Yep.
I'm going to follow him. And you're praying the entire time, God, save my family too. Don't break it forever. Mm. But there's got to be a time where it feels like you literally have lost everything.
Something interesting that Jessica and I had noticed in speaking with some of the youth in small group is, you know, in Romans 10 where it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Mm-hmm. That with youth in America, it would be really easy for them to confess mm-hmm. really quickly, but maybe not in their hearts that they're actually believing. Right. But we noticed the opposite with the Romanian youth, that they could be really believing in their heart, but they are not quick to wanting to confess mm-hmm. because of these things with their families.
All the consequences.
Yes, yeah. Of all the consequences that they... So that was an interesting thing. I had never thought of it that way until you could see the two differing groups.
Gonna sneak in here for just a moment, and we'll get right back to the program. But first, here's a word from Bram's wife, Sandy Floria, on the season of Advent.
Hi, this is Sandy Floria. As we move into the Advent season and the celebration of Christ's birth, we pause to reflect on the past year. This year, I have been reminded of the generosity of so many of you, our Compassion Radio partners. Thank you for your notes and emails of encouragement and prayer support for this ministry as we've gone through so much transition this year. Your words of support and prayer have been encouraging to us. They've encouraged us to move forward with our mission of bringing stories of hope and God's work from around the world. Compassion Radio does just that, and you've partnered with us throughout this year. It's been a blessing to us, to our family, and to the ministry. And now, as we look toward the new year, we want you to know we value your partnership more than ever. We are committed to bring you the stories of God's work around the world, but we can't do it without you. Would you consider continuing that partnership with us throughout the next year? Please prayerfully consider a generous gift for the ongoing ministry of Compassion Radio. Thank you, and may God bless you this holiday season.
You can reach us by phone at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or on the World Wide Web at CompassionRadio.com. In fact, our website recently underwent a whole new reboot. So check it out when you get a minute. We'd love to get your feedback. CompassionRadio.com. Let's get back now to the interview.
Does that challenge you all then to measure spiritual growth or progress differently than you might with your own youth back here in the States?
It's actually really interesting because Romanians are an interesting thing about being in Europe is they're very blunt. So if you're not baptized, it is very obvious that you're not a Christian. And once you're baptized, you are. But another area that we actually got called to invest in Hope Churches is their discipleship. They're actually really amazing at evangelism. I feel like God's gifted me with the gift of evangelism, and I have to try my hardest just to keep up with their level of what
Amen.
They're able to do. And it's amazing, but discipleship, they're now growing, and they are having it. The ones who came up in the youth group before are now leading the church, and they have their children, and so there is a second generation of Christians. When we came, we got put under the discipleship department, so they're really focusing on us to bring in a level of discipleship that they just haven't experienced yet. And so sanctification is a very interesting word in the church in Romania, at least where we're ministering in.
Some would say on special power based on the contrast between the light and darkness in any given culture. So the power of justification might be big in some cultures. The sanctification, the working out of your faith in public,
exactly,
becomes a big deal in this area. I remember in our generation, if I could call it that, back in the 80s when my wife and I were traveling around doing missions work, that up in Timisoara was like the remnant. They were the most. They were the bravest repenters of the bunch.
That's right. Yes.
So the northeast, the northwest part of the country was the center of the evangelical stump, if you want to call it that. That really held their own and held their witness during the years of oppression under Ceausescu.
Yeah.
Now it's Washington to the south, and I remember her hearing stories about the people up in Timisoara praying for those down south, and they're saying, "We'd love to go down there and do concerts for them, or you know, do events." They don't. You don't want to go down there right now. It's way too dark. You don't even dare step south of, they gave you a city line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was the impression that you were, where you are living now was kind of like the armpit of the country, that there nothing good could come out of that place. Kind of like the Israelites felt about Nazareth, right?
Exactly.
Nothing good could come out of that town. And yet, that's literally where God parachuted you in. Of course, you were oblivious to that particular historical fact when you got there.
Right.
So how is your impression transformed then, understanding where they're coming from and where they're going? Is this really going to become a lighthouse part of this country, or is there a different kind of place that God has for you in ministry? A place where you're going to send people out to other places that will they'll come to life better? Or is this really going to be a place in the world where the church anchors itself, becomes a real sending place?
Well, to add on what you were saying about Timisoara, it's actually really interesting. Our youth group, I guess, has been growing and maybe has been becoming more well-known throughout Romania. And Timisoara, I guess their prayers are actually coming to fruition or to the harvest time, because they actually have one of the largest Christian camps is right near there, and they actually invited our youth group to come in along with other youth groups all around, and their goal is to have 1,000 souls in the summer hear the gospel of Christ. And
awesome.
This is a camp that would maybe cost $150 for them, which for Romanian is maybe, it's unreachable for them to be able to pay that to go to a camp for a week. And they bust us in about 7 hours away, and they put us in the camp, and all the leaders and sponsors were there to greet them and to just bring the love of Christ to them. And so it's really interesting you saying that about Timisoara, because now we're able to be a part and see the fruit of those prayers. And so that was an amazing, and it was an amazing camp. A lot of the youth came to know Christ, and some who are baptized today that are in our youth group and getting to live for Christ now.
So there's expectancy now, some real joy that you're part of something that's bigger than yourself, and the country itself is reaching out to each other.
To answer your question from earlier, I believe that where we are, the reason that our group is called Catalyst is not just because it's a cool name. It's because that's the desire that we have for the youth in the south of Romania to be catalysts, to be people that would be sent out, whether it was in jobs, whether it is just in their families, in their households, whether it's to other parts of the world, to be missionaries themselves, foreign missionaries sent out from where we are to other countries. We have a great opportunity that God has given us to place us in a place where we feel as though God is going to do a great work in the youth that he has placed around us, not only for just a short period of time, but to affect long-term what God desires to do in the South.
And something that God just gave me a lot of peace about with our children going to public school this year was that he was just really showing me that this is the first time in our area that there are children being raised in Christian homes that are going into the schools and as a group.
Yeah.
They're no longer maybe one kid or a teenager that their families aren't believers, but there is starting to be a core group of children, which will be adolescents and then teenagers and young adults in our area, that I believe will just make a really big impact in the schools.
Awesome. Again, back to the idea of missional families. Mm-hmm. Your kids are on mission, and they buy in because they realize their identity is within the family and within Christ. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they're bringing the other friends along with them for the ride. Now, we could spend a lot of time, and I wish we could, just talking about the specifics of your ministry to young people, because they're marvelous stories. But I would like you, if you can, before I move on to something else, just give me one example of one kid that you really believe God use you in a way to reach that wouldn't have been reached had you not gone. Because this is what we talk about, the fruit or the meaning for any missionary. I did what I needed to do. I followed God where he wanted me to go, and I did the thing he called me to do. And because of that, I can say at least this thing I can give testimony to. God used me in my obedience to bring fruit in. What is it for you all? Becky?
I can think of a few different things. This might not directly answer the question you're asking, but there was a day that I was feeling really down about my language learning, and we had a kind of a tragedy that happened in some of the lives of the youth that we had. There was a death in their immediate family that was really hard for them. And I was struggling in that moment to know how to best minister to them, how to help them just even with physical, how can I physically help them? And feeling really down, like, I'm just useless. I can't do this, you know. And someone just kind of quickly said, oh, yeah, you're useless. They said it to me, you're useless in this moment. And it just was compounding in my head. And that night as I was praying, how can I help? You know, God, give me new perspective because I do feel really useless. God was just saying, you're not useless because you've brought together a team, not just us four, that as us together, the Ebels and the Georges, but we've brought together a team of Romanians. We have a goal, and we are working towards our goal together instead of just sporadic here, sporadic there, serving the youth. And that is useful because it might not be a direct me straight to this person, but I'm bringing together a team of people that we... Where there wasn't 30 youth coming to the church, now there is. You know, before we came, there was no one, but now there is. And I see that as my job is bringing together that team to reach, not just about what I can do, but how I can help empower others to do it too. Okay.
That is about getting on God's wavelength. You know, the thing He notices. Help us to notice the things that you care about, God. What an important prayer that is to pray when you have no idea what you're looking at.
Exactly.
Somebody else, somebody you know was impacted or would not, in your minds, have been impacted had God not enabled you to obey Him to go.
I can think of an area that we minister to greatly. It's called By the Stadium. and there's a group of kids that I believe that without, especially male influence, there are people that are there that are working with kids, but there aren't very many males that are going there, men of God, that are living out what it means to be a father, a husband, but doing it in a way that God has called us to do it the right way, in His ways. And so to see these young men that are over there by the stadium in an area that maybe isn't the most desirable to do ministry or not the most desirable group of kids to reach, they definitely wouldn't be as impacted, I believe, wholeheartedly. I think we all can attest to that if God did not send us to go and be willing to have open doors to whomever would come, whomever God would send our way.
So the American analogy, the other side of the tracks.
Exactly.
These are the kids that are on the wrong side of town.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you are spending some actual literal and quality time with these guys over there. And what are they responding to? And what kind of things are you doing over there that says Jesus and that these guys notice?
Something that impacted me greatly was one of the boys from that area was answering a question to another person asking a question of love. How do you know that you're loved, especially by others? And he was saying with Brandon and I and Jessica and Becky, just that they know that we don't have to go to them, we don't have to minister to them, we don't have to care for them in any way, but yet we do. And I think that's just a testament to God's love for them and using us to be the hands and feet of that love, the voice of that love for them.
Another great discussion today on a ministry that's truly doing some harvesting of souls in Romania right now. And we will conclude with part three of Bram's conversation with the Georges and the Ebels. He calls them the Georgie Bells on tomorrow's Compassion Radio. Now, a brief closing word from our president, Bram Floria.
For more than 20 years, the growth rate of the believing, worshiping church in China has consistently outstripped every plan to provide them Bibles. In fact, 20 to 25,000 new professing believers are added to the faith every day. So that's why during the month of November and December, our Operation God's Word Bibles for China project is our focus and our ministry expression of love and devotion to the church that God is building all around the world. So friends, when you give this month, during this holy season where we celebrate the birth of Jesus, together we're giving to the greatest missionary movement in the history of Christianity. And we're so proud to be your partner and your friend in this outreach. Thank you so much for believing in us all these years and for making it possible for Compassion Radio to continue its work here
and around the world.
For your special ministry and project gift this month of $25 or more, we'd love to send you a handcrafted olive wood ornament made by believers in Bethlehem. Ask for it when you call, write, or give online today. Lastly, I'd like to mention the importance of year-end giving for ministries like ours. We absolutely depend on the above and beyond gifts of partners who make their most important financial and ministry decisions at year's end. We're online 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com, and we'll be available for expanded hours at our toll-free order line, 800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or online at our new and improved website, CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.